Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello, creepies, and welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 44. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on?
Nothing too much. What's going on with you?
Fody-foe.
That's a good number, too. It's a solid number.
It is. It's Reggie Jackson's number.
Right.
Now, as a Red Sox fan, I know that's a Yankee, but I love me some Reggie Jackson.
Oh, yeah. How can you not?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
And, of course, he played with the A's, won two or three titles with them. And
get some street cred for that, right?
Oh, man. I did love some Reggie Jackson. But, yeah, number 44 for
many. Less than a couple of years, I'll be 44. So, watch out.
Yeah. Well, my wife's going to be 44 in October. So, yeah.
It's a good number.
Yeah, she's going to be in her mid-40s soon. You too.
Seeing the midpoint of that mountain, huh?
Yeah. You guys doing all right, though?
Yeah. We just had an awesome guest chat with Zevin. Oh, man, that was fun.
It was, I would say, stellar.
Mr. Odelberg.
He brought it. He's a good guy. Great guy, actually.
Mr. Yeah. Oh, gosh. That was fun.
He is a fantastic podcaster. He has a fantastic show, but he is a...
He's just a good
more
guy.
More of a fantastic human being.
And he's a good friend now.
Oh, yeah. He's a great
of
friend.
Of the show and of each of us.
So, that was fun to talk with him. And now we've got our little mini here. Number 44, as Nate said. And,
Mini.
I love it never gets put old, Austin though. Powers
it
in
It never gets old, right. Anytime you can throw Ron Burgundy or Austin Powers. There you go, Nate.
Me.
Oh, Anchorman's also good too, right?
You complete me. I love you.
Now I don't know if I
can. Just the two of us.
Oh, my gosh. Sean, why don't you tell the creepies what we're going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about the Fox sisters, and I totally misread this subject. I won't even tell you where the rabbit hole I went down, but I found my way, and I figured out what we're talking about. So this is something that you're going to lay the foundation for.
I am.
Appropriately. Foxy sisters like I looked up.
Foxy.
Foxy lady.
Well, Jimi Hendrix there, I
think. Exactly, right.
This is my... choice. I was the
way to go.
The chooser of the Fox sisters.
Yeah,
Fox
sisters. It's a great choice too.
So I'm going to lay the Sean. What's your name, Sean?
Brick, yeah.
Lay down the foundation. Simply straight from Wikipedia. That's how we do things. It's easier that way. The Fox sisters were three sisters from New York who played an important role in the creation of spiritualism.
Mm-hmm.
Leah was the older sister. Margareta, also known as Maggie. And then their sister, Catherine, went by Kate. The two younger sisters were Maggie and Kate. The two younger sisters used wrappings to convince their older sister and others that they were communicating with the spirits. Their older sister then took charge of them and managed their careers for some time. They all enjoyed success as mediums for many years. And if you don't know, I've got the exact... description of what wrappings mean. I mean, you can probably figure it out, but it says it's just a
not
form
like
of...
Not like Christmas.
Huh?
Not like Christmas.
No, and it's not...
Not
you know,
like
hip-hop.
Tupac Shakur.
Right. Not okay. That wrappings, right.
All
right,
so we've marked
or
those
not
off.
A rap on the Beezer, like in Tombstone when he's like, I gave... Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
By Clinton.
So we're...
All kinds of raps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Or not a beat, you know, like a beat the rap, you know, like, you know, the mobsters.
I think
beat
about
the
it
rap.
As like,
yeah.
Like with your fingers. Like
yeah,
that kind
so
of, yeah.
Basically it's a form of communication between living persons and the spirits of deceased persons by tapping out messages on a table, board, or the like. So there you go. So that's the wrappings that spiritualism consists of. So yeah.
Yeah, and they're the beginnings, like you said, the modern mediumship or spiritualism.
Yeah, yeah. So. They were kind of like, I must have watched, well, I would say listened to four videos. You know, they range like 16 to 25 minutes. And then I don't know how many articles I read. They pretty much, I think, consistently give them the props of being
the founding
sisters. A couple of them said that they just enhanced or they made it more, mainstream, or they really gave it a boost. Maybe they didn't invent it, or you know,
well, the fact that they made a quote unquote career out of this.
Yeah,
is
I would say
telling,
they're.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's. I would say they were more of the founders. Yeah, Kate and Maggie.
So Jenna asked me, she just asked me what we were talking about, and I was telling her, and she said, so I explained to her where they came from, like mid-1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
1840.
So she wasn't really listening because she goes, so these chicks are still alive? They're still doing this thing? And I go, I said the mid-ish 1800s.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I didn't hear that. I was like, you don't listen to me. So
they're a little old. They're 200 years old. They're
so modern.
She did not listen to you, Sean.
Wow.
A modern person in this field would be Miss Chloe. Or whatever her name was.
Oh, Cleo.
Or Cleo, yeah.
Cleo.
Yeah,
well, and her cousin Chloe. Or Cleo. Yeah. Chloe. Cleo.
Lots of people not listening. Something like that.
Yeah, no, Cleo. That's yeah. Funny. You know, she's deceased now. She passed away.
I bet she didn't see that coming.
She did. Hey, he's here all week. Don't forget to take
that's
your
a wrap.
That's a wrap. So,
what more is there to say, right?
Naders are sounding.
He is preparing.
No, I'm a deceased rap.
You're doing the rap.
Oh, yeah.
These are all good. Yeah. These are great.
Yo, yo. Yeah. So, yeah, Cleo.
I think Cleo.
I think it's interesting.
Chloe,
yeah, Cleo, Chloe, whatever.
It started with a cl.
I think it's interesting that this time period, they said it was, you know, getting in the Victorian age and people being interested in mediumship and spiritualism and all those things, just kind of looking outside of what, you know, your traditional religious beliefs and how you were raised, people were stepping outside of that. And
yes.
It was a form of rebellion yes. against religion is what this really boils down to.
Yeah.
And at least what your, the traditional values,
right.
of what you're, you know, so it was very risque in other words.
And they, and as they said, they were just, there were people that were searching for more, like an alternative, you mm-hmm. know? And so this is how this all kind of came about. Yeah. The Fox sisters, I think there were six total kids in their family. So obviously, yeah, so Kate and Maggie. So their mom was convinced when they moved in their house, mm-hmm. she was convinced that it was already haunted, that there was something going on as far as paranormal. So Kate and Maggie, to kind of enhance that thought or belief that their mom had, tied an apple to a string. Mm-hmm. And would drop it on like the floor or steps to make obviously make noises and their mom to as a gag as just to be little turds annoying their mom. Well, she took it as
supernatural,
and it went on top of her already believing that something was in the house, and then they stepped it up. Then they just did more, but they also had. Did you see an interaction with? A spirit that let me look at my notes here. So what, like I said, started out as a gag, you know, like mm-hmm. with the whole, or as Mr. Ebb would say, oh, the old apple on a string trick. They entertained an invisible spirit.
Yes.
And they had said that it was they said it was an alleged spirit that was Charles B. Rosner, that he was supposedly murdered 5 years earlier in the house. And he was buried in the cellar
mm-hmm.
of their house.
And I like the girl's address. Yeah, the spirit ahead. Is Mr. Splitfoot, which is a nickname for the devil, right?
Yeah. So,
and then later, yeah.
So a guy named Bell was, they had found out there was his last name was Bell, mm-hmm. that he was the perpetrator. He was the one that murdered Mr. Rosner. And of course, then he denied it. And he was like basically stunned that he
yeah.
was the one, you know, in shock. And so then the whole huge. Community was like, they shunned him basically, you know? Yeah. But they, yeah. So then, okay. So then going back to, yeah. So you got that little story within the story. And then there was this spirit, I'm putting in quotes, you know, that, they were entertaining and they to, I guess, communicate. That's where these, they would snap their fingers.
Yes.
To see if it would repeat it, and they did, and then like this entity or spirit would snap the amount of finger or amount of snaps to tell how old they were.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah. So then the more they, you know, so that's who was Mr. Splitfoot, which is another name for the devil.
Right.
So anyway, so then they're like, so they're now they're thinking, well, we can,
it's wild.
We can actually do that. Like they were messing with their mom, but then yet they think they really are communicating or they have these powers.
I think we're dealing with a tulpa, you know, is what they were
think
doing.
Think so? Slender Man?
Maybe, possibly.
Slender Splitfoot? So that's kind of, it's interesting.
I thought it was interesting, and he comes up into our discussions often as Arthur Conan Doyle. Mm-hmm. Later claimed he was writing in his writings on the Fox sisters. He claimed the neighbors later dug up the cellar and found pieces of bone, but no missing person named Charles B. Rosna was ever identified. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So they could never figure out they never literally found any known person by that name. And the bones were kind of a mix of animal bones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't.
No, human. It was. Yeah,
it was just kind of a mishmash, is what they said.
But it helped to. It's kind of like the Bell Witch thing, you know. It helped to propel the story and mm-hmm. ignite it. Yeah,
yeah. But they didn't find, right? Like you said, they didn't find anybody that really by the name of Rosner.
Them there chicken bones, and you're like, no, it's a human femur. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, and then this entity that they called Mr. Splitfoot, mm-hmm. It even progressed to. It could do the alphabet, the letters of the alphabet. It would, as far as the snapping and the interaction. So that would be creepy. I mean, let's just get to the point there.
That's, it really is.
To entertain anything that you think might be, like, I'm out. I'm done. Like, uh-oh. It's kind of like the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know who you're communicating with.
Right.
And so they're obviously not using a Ouija board, but they're using another form of communication. And if it's something that you think it's demonic or the devil himself, you better stop. You better, you know, whether you believe
it. I know, you'd wonder at what point somebody...
And they're kids. They're young.
Yeah. You look at pictures of them, too, and they're... I mean, I know we're talking about a different time, and it's yesteryear, right? I use that term a lot, too.
Yeah.
But they don't look very happy. Like, I know you weren't meant to look happy in some of those pictures.
I don't think they smile much back then. I know.
You know, like...
Well, because I think... to get the proper exposure for the photo, you had to hold still.
Sit there for a while. Yeah, so they're
so
like...
So it hurt to hold a smile.
All right. That's what they actually said. That's why a lot of... You know, it's not like they weren't happy, but they just, they're just like...
Maybe they should have stood on their heads.
Yeah, they didn't have the quick photo on the iPhones back then.
No Polaroids.
Yeah, they just had the flip phones. I love those. We got one for my daughter.
They still exist.
This year or last year.
You can still get them, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, kind of creeping back, their mom did not believe them that they, so she believed in the paranormal. The daughters do their little trickery to mess with their mom, but she didn't believe, that they did it because they were too young. She didn't think they could come up with something like that. Mm-hmm. So she's like, there's something, you know? So now she's definitely in on the whole, this house is haunted. And I don't recall, Sean or Nate, do you remember? I'm trying to think. I don't think the dad did. I'm trying to think if there was anything said about him.
I can't remember. In the stories, I didn't hear
I have
much
all my notes
of anything about him.
I haven't seen him yet.
So anyway.
He was probably like, BS.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I'm smoking my cigar and reading my newspaper.
So their older sister, Leia, she was like, hey, let's capitalize on this.
Right.
Let's get, you know, notoriety. So I know they went to they went to New York.
Rochester, yeah.
Yep. And then she stayed back, though. Mm-hmm. She would entertain the parlor. She mm-hmm. would do the more of like...
Parlor tricks, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so she was staying at home doing...
Not to judge, but
right.
Yeah, tricks.
And then and I found interesting that they stayed in a hotel, Barnum Hotel. Mm-hmm. He was a cousin of P.T. Barnum. Mm-hmm. So that's where
Which
they kind of...
interesting. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. a whole nother interesting historical...
Yeah,
trickster.
Right. Entertainer. And,
absolutely.
So then that's where they kind of, because they thought, well, we can take this show on the road and let's get popular, make some money, you know, and they're young still.
During this period, like I said, it's, you know, we're talking about the period and what was becoming, people were just finding things interesting. They found Gothic fiction. That was a big,
people
were fascinated by it. You know, I mean, obviously you got into, you know, the Frankenstein, Dracula and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. Shelley and, But there were also people like Mesmer, which was mesmerism came from, you know, I was looking at a lot of the videos talk about the different people that they, you know, kind of got ideas from and
right.
came into contact with. The guy that did you probably listened to, the Andrew Jackson Davis.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and he was a spiritualist and he came across paths and they both shared ideas and kind of fed off each other. And were fascinated by each other. So he was into animal magnetism, precursor of hypnotism, clairvoyancy. He described himself as the, I'm going to say it, Poughkeepsie seer. Is I saying that right?
Poughkeepsie.
I bet it's Poughkeepsie, but Poughkeepsie sounds a lot better.
Yeah. It sounds
Pooh for short.
I'm Winnie a poo seer.
Winnie the Pooh keepsie?
Hold on, let me see. It's a poo seer. I see your poo.
let's leave our poo out of it. Our listeners don't want to listen.
Let's back away from that.
They probably think the show's poo.
I'm going to my next page.
Yeah, no, but you're right. And you know what I thought about? These girls, it's like catching lightning in a bottle. Like perfect boom. What they, because like you said, at this time, people were kind of going away from their traditional religious practices and their practice, you know, just the religion themselves, looking for something different. And man, these girls just perfect time, you know. And then they were able to capitalize on it. And a lot of the cities too, they didn't stay in New York. They went to Philadelphia, St. Louis, New York. Gosh, what were the other cities? I'm trying to those I didn't write down in my notes, but
I didn't either actually.
Yeah, there's like five, or maybe six or seven different cities that they mainly toured. Yeah, mostly East Coast, but some Midwest. Yeah, you know, they had a lot of their. What's interesting is they had a lot of their a lot of the people that would come see them. You know, a lot of were interested, just probably didn't have an opinion, and then some were like, these are shysters, but let's just see what, you know, they want to be entertained or what's and then some were like, they're all in too. They're like, no, these girls are legit, you know.
I thought it was interesting that how many different people that were famous and people that are well known, maybe not to us, but back in the day, were mediums or were interested in mediumship. The first woman who ever ran for president is Victoria Woodhull.
Yep.
She was a medium. I did not know that. A lot of people don't even realize there was probably that far back somebody ran for president that was a female.
Now that I did not. Yeah, when I found that out,
I thought that was interesting.
Blown away. Yeah.
But they said like some of the famous people that believed in spiritualism and some of these ideas: Thomas Edison, Mae West. Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria. Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah.
Yes. Shout out to him. And it's interesting that some of these people, Mary Todd Lincoln, that's a famous one. When they lost her son, William, she was desperate to make contact. So, and obviously she got, Lincoln to delve into that too. Victoria Woodhull, which I just said, but it's just, Dan Aykroyd, you know, he's a more, you know, common, some of these I don't actually know, but it's interesting how many people were into it. Nowadays, we still have famous people. Brad Pitt, George Clooney, those kind of people. Taylor Swift, I think, is one that believes, you know. So these guys, they believe in going and getting psychic readings the other side. Yeah, right. So shout out. But it's still a thing. Like, this isn't something that has left us, in other words.
No. You know, and this is going to be one of our or this is going to be one of our shorter mini. We're going to be miniaturizing mini.
Is this a mini?
Yeah, but so to kind of, we could make this actually a full probably, but I thought it'd just be a good mini. You know, they could manipulate, you know, they're good with their, like table tipping, you know, they're good with their cracking their toes. You know, their fingers, to make it look like a table's levitating or stuff like that.
They finally demonstrated it later on after their like sort of debunking what they were doing
and how they had done it. Right. Yeah.
And physicians were coming up on stage and verifying
and showing how they did it with cracking the knuckles in their toes. And
which one was it? It might've been both of them. They actually demonstrated it, and then the doctors came up and verified that it was their toes cracking.
Yeah, they had a group of women. They checked their undergarments and you know made sure there was nothing that they could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had their ways to do it, but then again, they also that's the confusion, because they were saying, yeah, we finagled or we're frauds, but yet we also do have but we actually do have the powers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like going back to the Mr. Split. it's just even between them, they're like, and so then I think it was Maggie, Sean, am I right? Maggie was the one that came on stage, literally like reserved time to,
I believe so, yeah,
and gone and said, this is how we did it, as just charlatans, as a hoax, we're frauds, this is how we did it, this is why we did it, da 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 da.
And they say that, like, I think she's the one that had found religion, and that she had been, like, felt like she needed to purge herself of what she had done. And then some people say that she came across hard times, or they were coming across hard times, and they say, you know, maybe she lied about it because she wanted to make money that way. And so there's all kind of, you know, who knows exactly what
she was trying to get
were.
Back at Leia, because they were being used and abused, and you know, pressed.
So there was infighting between the sisters, right?
Oh yeah. And so they didn't like her, and then so then though what's interesting is she retracted it. So she got kind of forced into by,
so that's why they thought maybe she'd been like financially had a motive.
Right, correct. But you know what's sad is both Kate and Maggie you know, one of them got married. I get the guy was 13 years older than her, but then he passed away just a year later. But they both hit the bottle.
Yeah.
They both
alcohol. That's what the other thing. Yeah. It's hard to trust somebody that has delved into or fallen into alcoholism.
You know, financial
and
problems.
Hardships. Yeah.
So how quickly they rose from just, and you know, being young and, man, traveling to big cities. I mean, you got Philadelphia, New York, St. Louis and all those places. And then you are just, kind of tanked.
It's
real fat. I mean, you know,
it's interesting. And I think I wanted to pull a couple different things. Something that was a precursor to this that helped to kind of stoke these fires was a guy back in 1758. It's a guy named Swedenborg, and his book Heaven and Hell, which Heaven and Hell is the common English title of a book written by Emanuel Swedenborg in Latin, published in 1758. The full title is Heaven and Its Wonders and Hell from Things Heard and Seen, or in Latin, it's something I'm not going to try to pronounce. It gives a detailed description of the afterlife, how people live after death, and of the physical body. The book owes its popular appeal to the subject matter. So that is where spiritualism and the otherworldly and mediumship started coming from, this gentleman, Swedenborg. So I thought that was interesting. Now, on the other end of these girls, the Fox sisters, is when I think another interesting subject that ties into this is Houdini. Houdini tried and tried, because Houdini went, after his mother died, he was obsessed with making contact with her spirit. So he went to see mediums. He tried diligently to try, you know, and he's a magician, so he knows all the tricks and all this kind of stuff. So he went in open-minded thinking, I'm going to make contact because there is another world out there, and everybody else was talking about spiritualism and all this. Well, he figured out he was being duped, and he didn't like that. So he made it his goal to make sure and find the charlatans and expose them. So that was his mission for a long time. There are conspiracies or talk that, like, him getting punched was part of that. They were just angry at him for, you know, wrecking the spiritual world and trying to make a mockery of the mediums. That's possible, but, you know, and then he died from appendicitis. But so I find him to be a fascinating character, and that whole story about him going after
mediums.
There's
a lot of big names, And he's the one, you know, Houdini. He had told his wife that when he dies and
Bessie,
was that her name? Mm-hmm. He would communicate with her. He would, you know, from the dead, he would try to get a hold of her, and like, obviously
they had a code or code word kind of a code phrase between the two of them, and she tried for Bessie is what he called. And he tried she tried for 10 years on Halloween every year. That was their agreement. And she tried the seance, and she didn't contact him in 10 years, and she said, I've tried, if you know Harry was coming through, he would have come through by now. So she gave up, but nobody, you know, other people obviously wanted, you know, took on what, you know, what she was doing, and they've done it. As far as I know, there's somebody that's done it every Halloween or most Halloween since to try to still try to make contact with
really
Houdini.
Oh, wow.
So
I did not know that.
I want to say Penn and Teller took it over for a while. I don't know if they still do it. Or not, but they did. I remember it was like televised one year when I was younger.
Really?
I was like, oh, that's cool. So I'm kind of making an assumption that it still goes on, but they were trying to make contact with him for quite a while.
I just found that
it's Google worthy, isn't it?
The story, like, even today, they're still One of the videos I listened to, they said even today that the Fox Sisters is still in this genre, well, in this realm of paranormal, so the spiritualism. Were they, you know, were they real? Were they not? Was half of it, you know, I mean, because there's a lot to it, because they, yeah, they played jokes on their mom, but then yet they claimed to have powers to communicate with a spirit or entity, and then, but then they took it on the road, and then some of it they were, because they said they basically got in so deep that they had, like with their mom was telling the community about, oh my gosh, you know, we have this haunted house, and my daughter is now, when, you know, they can do this and that. And so they felt like they were, oh gosh, we got to step it up. So they had to keep it going. And then that's when Leia was like, hey, why don't we just, you know, take it a little bit, you know, let's go to the big cities. And, you know, anyway, so to this day, they still, there's debate on what was real, what wasn't, was part of it, what, or was it a total sham? Was it, was it all real? I mean, it's just, it's really interesting here, over 200 years.
I think that's fascinating, really.
Yeah, yeah.
They say, oh.
But sad lives, though.
Couple things. How they ended. Houdini's last words were, I'm tired of fighting. And that was October 31st, 1926, at the age of 52. Oh, wow. And it says, this is as soon as, or as recently as 2019, so just before COVID, that every Halloween, they still try, it says, even if you're not able to attend an official seance, you can still, so they have official seances still, you can still get involved in the Halloween fun. The Houdini Museum asks everyone on the web to attempt contact with Harry Houdini sometime between Halloween for the 24 hours of October 31st.
Oh, wow.
So you're encouraged still, like I said, this is as of 2019. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, they're offered $1,500 to expose themselves,
which
Maggie did. And Kate was in the audience, was in attendance while she was doing that, and then getting assessed by the doctors. And then it wasn't even, is a little over a year later, because that was in October of 1888, and in November 1889, because of not making any money or anything, they're in dire financial situations. Maggie recanted her confession in writing about her little performance.
Yeah, when she said, oh, we're fakes,
Yeah, saying, no, it was real.
Yeah, what, I mean, but there's so much there. It's like, what do you believe? What don't you believe?
But then she never attracted, or they never attracted the same, you know, high-paying clients and the amount of clients. So then a few years later, they both died in poverty.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe, and I'm just doing this off of memory, I think Leah was the first one that passed in like 89 or 90. The second one was 92, and then the third sister died, I know, 8 months later in 1993. So all three died within 3 years of each other. You know, they're all obviously mixed up with this whole... whatever it was, you know, sham or,
It was Splitfoot. He's coming back.
Mr. Splitfoot. Mr. That is that's a creepy, though, like Mr. Splitfoot.
Rapping into eternity, right?
Another I had never heard that term. With all the terms and the nicknames for the devil, that's the first time I've heard
I've never Mr. heard Splitfoot. That either,
That's, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's like different. Like hooves, I guess, you know, the cloven hooves. I want to read this, and then this will kind of wrap it up. Guys, I mean, but do you guys have any
other? No, I'm good.
Like, I mean... anything.
No, like, I think I think it's an awesome discussion. It's great, foundational of a lot of things that we've talked about.
Well, and these were it was a real family,
and things that we want to talk about.
Yeah, and I don't think we've delved a whole lot into spiritualism, really. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's the main, you know. So here is a quote. It's not too long, by Maggie. Well, Maggie, and I guess they call her Katie. They made very strong statements against spiritualism. So it says that that I have been chiefly instrumental in perpetrating the fraud of spiritualism upon a too confiding public. Most of you doubtless know, the greatest sorrow in my life has been that this is true. And though it has come late in my day, I am now prepared to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I've heard that before. I am here tonight as one of the founders of spiritualism to denounce it as an absolute falsehood from beginning to end, as the flimsiest of superstitions, the most wicked blasphemy known to the world. And that was Maggie. Quoted in A.B. Davenport, the death blow to spiritualism. Okay. And then, and just, you know, 1888, Daily Herald, New York Daily Herald, Daily Tribune. And then it said, then the last quote is by Katie. I regard spiritualism as one of the greatest curses that the world has ever known. Katie Fox Jenkins, New York Herald, October 9th, 1888.
Wow. Interesting. So, and again, they think.
It's pretty strong words, though.
What, it is. I mean, and did she do it? Was it faith-based that she was really trying to make her, you know, peace with God?
Right.
Make was, it, she, like, was it a financial, mm-hmm. You know, motive? No, nobody knows, but it is. Those are very powerful words. So mm-hmm. who's to judge? That's, I don't know. Like, honestly, you ask me, it's like, I don't know.
And I don't want to get, because I know we're wrapping this up, I don't want to get into too much because, you know, we can do an episode sometime, many or full, whatever, mm-hmm. about mediumship, spiritualism, the whole. Oh, I definitely have my opinion, so I don't want to.
Yeah.
But.
We won't spoil it yet.
Yeah. I've even had this discussion with my wife, who really could not care less about what we talk like, about.
It's fascinating.
Like I said, she loves our horror movies mm-hmm. and it's creepiness, but she, you know, she doesn't really care about the topics and stuff. She believes it's real. She says she believes that some can tap into it mm-hmm. and that you have to, because see, even the Bible, God says, don't be messing with
magic
and things that you don't know what's going on. So obviously the Bible says it. I believe that. I just don't know how much in this day and age, see, and I hate to say it. I mean, I guess people can have that ability.
Yeah.
I'm just not, you know how we always do. What's your percentage? I'm That's truly, like, I mean, 50-50 is pushing it mm-hmm. to me or for me, 40-60. That's not, it's hard for me to really believe that somebody can tap into when they do a seance or holding, I don't know.
I think the thing that's hard about the whole thing is I think there are sensitive people that can.
Right.
But finding a true person.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time
to hoax you. I think that
there's a lot of charlatans than there are
construes the numbers.
That was what my thought was, is that, and
yeah,
if you're out there saying, you know, it's almost like those big, you know, like the religious zealots that are out there saying, I can heal and do this. And if you're, if you look like you're making money off of it and you're out there in public, yeah. I'm not saying that everybody that does that is wrong, or I'm not judging that, but I'm saying normally when if you're making something money out of it and you're making a big deal about it, it's pretty good chances by my standards. Probably a bit of a trickery.
Yeah. Because they're showing why they're in it.
You're doing it. You know, you're going to somebody and saying, hey, I just wanted to tell you this. And you're like, oh my gosh, how'd they know this information? And they're not making a dime off of it. They're just coming off the street and saying something to you. That to me would seemingly be more of a gift, because you're actually using it. Like, I just need to tell you this.
You didn't profit off of it.
You didn't profit
off of it. There's really no reason why you would know what you're telling the person.
So I
get it. That's what I'm saying. I'm not like
that's
going,
where I'm at.
They're not real. There's
I
nobody,
do believe I, there are people with six cents or seven cents or 27 cents.
I think there's a lot of trickery out there.
I do. And
I think, so like I said, my wife's like, I believe there's some that do that. And she's like, and I think, you know, you can use it for good.
And again, people are making money off of it. That doesn't mean that they're bad or their intentions are bad.
Right. And what they're getting into,
but it's a little more suspect.
Right, and she's more like, God says, don't screw with it. Whether you know, like, even if you're wanting to get into it, don't start. And if you do have that power, you better either quit or make sure you're at least doing it for, you know, the right reasons. Right. I mean, I guess it's I'm going to use your word, fascinating.
It's fashion, absolutely.
But this Fox sister or Fox sisters. Topic. I've been interested in for mm-hmm. a couple of years, mm-hmm. you know, and I thought.
No, I think it's a great choice.
So, and
what
again,
foxes.
Yeah,
foxes and ladies.
But that's all. You know, I hope the creepies enjoyed that a little bit. Something different.
I did.
I did too. Nate, ooh, did you enjoy it?
I consider myself a lady.
Foxy. I just picture Garth on Wayne's World.
That's it.
In the diner. In that doing foxy. Yep.
Foxy.
Yeah. So, with that said, Nate, take us out.
I think we've climbed through this foxhole enough. That's a wrap.
Take that as you will.
It's definitely a foxhole. And you know my name means fox, by the way. Todd means
not.
Yes.
You I did not. Not. I don't think I knew that.
What's the name? Fox and the Hound. Todd.
There you go.
I mean, but Todd does mean fox.
Right. You know, I think I have heard that somewhere. Yeah. Maybe you've told me that before.
So when we say I forgot. Hot toddy, that's a hot fox.
Hot fox.
That's right. Just ask my wife. She's like, okay. Oh, you I'm know. You're taking, yeah. No, that was fun, though. Thanks for the discussion, guys. And Creepies, we hope you enjoyed it. And I am looking at my notes to make sure I'm saying middle-aged mini number 44. That's weird. Yeah. Nate?
He took us out already. He already did it.
I probably said it.
I was going to say, I did mess up. I was going to say, I just started smiling. I was going to say, Nate, are you our sound engineer still? I'm looking at my notes and I'm like,
you might want to change that. The main draw, Nate. Did I say that right?
The what?
The main draw. Oh, draw, attention.
I'm going to say, and Nate is your main draw.
There you go. That's what we need
no,
to say.
Nate is your...
Drop the mic.
How can we... Nate is your consistent. He's consistent. He's on a hot streak. Yep. 104 in a row. 104.
Somebody's got to do it.
He's the pillar.
Much as a couple slackers he's looking at. Is that what you're saying, Nate? Just tell us.
I got plans next Wednesday.
I can't do it without you.
All right. Well, you did say that you're like... What, Sean, you said, Nate, if we both miss...
It's going to be the Nate show, and he's like, oh, please no.
Nate made it crystal clear that he has no interest.
He's like, no, he said he's going to play.
You got Dane.
He's going to play.
And Parker.
Elevator music is what he said.
You'd have two sons for your co-hosts, and you just.
No.
No. No?
That's a solid
thing. I think it's going to be a silent episode.
No. Negative for him.
What did you say you're going to play?
Elevator music.
Elevator music, yeah.
I did chuckle at that.
Welcome to middle-aged and creeped out.
The circus is out of town for a while if we're not here.
Well, at least Nate is your sound engineer, and we're your host, Todd and Sean, and we will talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.